The heat hit me the second I stepped out of the terminal at Tunis Carthage. Not a dry, punishing heat, but a wet, heavy blanket that smells faintly of jet fuel and jasmine. A man was selling little bouquets of makhmam right there on the curb, the white flowers wrapped in string, and for a moment, I just stood in the sun, letting the reality of it sink in. This is it. This is home now. The taxi ride into the city was my first lesson in Tunisian driving, which is best described as negotiated chaos. There's a horn language here that I'm trying to learn. A short tap means I'm here. A longer blast means I'm coming through. Please adjust. The driver, a man named Karim who spoke French with a rapid-fire accent, pointed out the lake as we crossed the bridge. Les Burgess du Lac, the new business district, all glass and steel and corporate logos. The other side of the coin, he said, the modern face. We passed it quickly, heading for the older parts of town. My first task, before anything else, was the carte de séjour. I'd read the lists online, but the real thing involves a queue at a police commissariat that starts forming before the doors open. I learned quickly that a smile and a patient French phrase goes a long way. I had my passport photos, a rental contract for a small flat I'd found online in the Lafayette district, and a bank account attestation. Turns out, that last one is the trickiest piece of the puzzle because you need a bank account to get the residence card, but you need an address to get the bank account. A classic circular system. The trick is to get the bank to accept your rental contract as proof of address, which is exactly what I did. The bank itself was an adventure. I chose a branch of BIAT, which is one of the biggest banks here, and the process was surprisingly smooth. A passport, a copy of my rental contract, and a form signed in triplicate. The whole thing took about an hour, and I walked out with an attestation d'obtention de compte, a small rectangle of paper that felt heavier than the passport in my bag. It wasn't complicated. It just required being in the right place at the right time with the right photocopies. A reminder that in Tunisia, the administrative ballet is a performance with very specific steps. With the paperwork started, I allowed myself the first real pleasure of the trip. I took the TGM, the old suburban railway that runs from Tunis along the coast, to Sidi Bouzid. It was late afternoon by now, and the light was turning golden. The station is at the bottom of the hill, and you walk up through the blue and white streets, every doorway framing a different shade of the Mediterranean. I found a seat at Café de Delis, the famous terrace overlooking the Gulf, and ordered a mint tea with pine nuts. The tea was sweet, the breeze was warm, and the view felt like a postcard I had somehow stepped into. It cost about 2 dinars, which is less than a dollar, and it was worth 10 times that in the simple ceremony of sitting still and letting the landscape do its work. The next morning, I woke up to the sound of the call to prayer echoing over the city, a haunting melody that seems to come from everywhere and nowhere at once. My flat is a modest one-bedroom in Lafayette, close to the city center, but not in the thick of the Medina chaos. The rent is about 1,000 dinars a month, which is on the higher end for this area, but it has a small balcony overlooking a quiet street and a landlord who appears to genuinely want my stay to be comfortable. I made myself a coffee in the tiny kitchen, opened the shutters, and felt the first pulse of a routine beginning. Today was for the Medina. I walked down Avenue Habib Bourguiba, the grand boulevard they call the Champs-Élysées of Tunis, all palm trees and French colonial facades, and the improbable clock tower standing sentinel at the end. I stopped at a street stall for a breakfast of labalbi, a garlicky chickpea soup that's a Tunisian morning staple. A small plastic bowl, a handful of chickpeas floating in a rich broth, a drizzle of olive oil, and a sprinkle of cumin. It cost 3 dinars. It was perfect, rustic, and deeply savory, a direct injection of fuel for the day ahead. The Medina is a different universe. The gate, Bab el-Bar, opens into a world that hasn't changed its shape in 1,000 years, a maze of covered souks where the sunlight falls in streaks through the wooden lattice roofs. I went straight for the grand souk de Chekias to see the maker of the red felt caps. From there, I wandered into Souk El Adarim, the perfume souk, which dates back to the 13th century. The air is thick with attar of roses and sandalwood, and something sweeter, perhaps jasmine, the scent of the Tunisian summer itself. I didn't buy anything, just walked through, letting the merchant's calls wash over me. One man tried to sell me a carpet. Another offered to exchange my dollars for dinars at a rate that was clearly too good to be true. I smiled and kept walking. The trick I'm learning is to be present but not engaged, to have a destination in mind even if you're wandering. I spent the afternoon at the Bardo National Museum, which might be the best decision I've made so far. The building itself is a masterpiece, a 15th century palace with a stunning courtyard and horseshoe arches, but the collection inside is what pulls your gaze. It's the world's largest collection of Roman mosaics, and walking through those halls is like walking through a lexicon of ancient life. I saw a mosaic of Ulysses and the Sirens that was so detailed, you could see the individual tiles of his expression. I did read that a part of the Carthage room is closed right now, apparently for a restoration of the roof, so I made a mental note to check what's on view before going back. The ticket was around 10 dinars, and I could have easily spent twice as long in there. The evening was for settling in. I walked back towards the city center and stopped in at a tiny restaurant near the Marché Central for a brick, the classic Tunisian fried pastry. The vendor, a woman who had been doing this for 40 years, expertly cracked an egg into the thin, crispy pastry, added a bit of tuna and capers, folded it into a triangle, and dropped it into the hot oil. It came to me golden and piping hot, and she told me to eat it carefully so the yolk didn't run down my chin. I couldn't help but laugh. She had precisely identified my greatest fear. It was 2 dinars, a bargain for a mouthful of pure savory ecstasy. The phone is an easy fix here. I stopped into a shop downtown and picked up a prepaid SIM from Orange, Tennessee. The process took about 10 minutes and cost less than 10 dinars. You just hand over your passport, they copy the number, and you're connected. It's a small thing, but having a local number makes the country feel less foreign. I also tried to figure out the bus and metro system. I'm told there's no single reloadable fare card, which took me a second to process. So I've been carrying a stack of small change for the ticket kiosks. It's a bit archaic, but it works. This is where I want to be next. I'm going to spend a week here in the capital, getting the full rhythm of the city, before I start heading south. The plan is to follow the coast, working my way down through Sousse and Monastir to Djerba, chasing the sea breeze as August's heat gives way to October's calm. But before I leave, I have to hit the Carthage Festival. I hear the Roman theater is something else at night, with the ruins lit up and the city spread out below. Sami Youssef is headlining tonight, apparently. And next week, there's something about an Italian orchestra performing, which might be worth seeing just for the setting. For now, I'm sitting in a cafe near my flat, the Treehouse Coffee Shop, which has become a quick favorite for its strong coffee and quiet corner tables. The evening air is warm, and the sounds of the city drift through the open door. Cicadas, a distant car horn, the low murmur of conversation in a language I'm slowly unwrapping. I'm told to watch my pockets in the dense crowds of the Medina, to carry cash for taxis, and to skip the border zones. But those are just rules for staying safe, not rules for living. The real lesson of these first 2 days is that Tunisia is a country that rewards patience and punishes expectations. You don't arrive here and conquer it. You arrive and sit with it, let it show you its layers one cup of mint tea at a time. And I have a whole year to wait. Aslima, that's the greeting you'll hear everywhere, and it's a good word to start with. I'm Rania, and this is the beginning of a long walk through this country. I'll be here in Tunis for a few more days, and then the road starts calling. The Medina will still be here when I get back, and so will the mint tea. I'll bring you along.